of this story. Please stay with us. The Middle East Eye has covered this story and tells us more. The sight of cemeteries in the Gaza Strip razed by Israeli military has left Palestinians in shock. Israeli military bulldozers wrecked several burial grounds in the northern Gaza Strip during its ongoing ground incursion. After tanks withdrew earlier this week from some of the cemeteries and surrounding areas, returning residents are starting to assess the scale of destruction left behind. They left nothing in its place, Abed Sabah, a Gaza-based journalist, told the Middle East Eye. Reporting from the now-razed Al-Fallujah Cemetery in Jabalia, Sabah said, Israeli military bulldozers has dug into the graves, causing some tombs to get mixed together. These tombs are places that have history and hold the bodies of loved ones, he said. It is difficult to have them go through this digging. Some residents desperately tried to find their deceased relatives through the rubble in hopes of reassembling their graves. I came to visit the graves of my brother and uncle and I couldn't find them, one resident told the Al Jazeera television network. I dug and looked for their names but could not find them, he said. According to the New York Times, the Israeli military damaged or destroyed at least six cemeteries in the northern Gaza Strip over the last few weeks. In one example, the report found that satellite imagery showed armored vehicles operating atop what were intact graves in Gaza City's Shajaiya neighborhood. Video footage taken by local journalists in other cemeteries showed apparent bulldozer tracks and displaced headstones. The damaged cemeteries are located in the towns of Beit Lahia, Beit Hanun, and Gaza City. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor said it documented damage to the Al-Fallujah Cemetery, Ali bin Marwan, Sheikh Radwan, Al-Shuhada, and Sheikh Sha'ban cemeteries, in addition to St. Porphyrius Church Cemetery in Gaza City and Al-Shuhada Cemetery in the northern Gaza town of Beit Lahia. Jake Godin, an investigative journalist at Scripps News who analyzed the satellite imagery, told the Middle East Eye, the before and after photos show clearly bulldozers or clearing activity in some of the cemeteries. You can see long streaks of dirt or the push dirt, according to Godin. When you look at the satellite view, you see that there is no more headstones, it's just dirt and push dirt and then spots for Israeli army vehicles to sit. The Bin Marwan Cemetery in Shajaiya, which was partially cleared by the Israeli army, as seen in the satellite imagery, was spotted in a video posted by the Israeli army on 10th of December. The soldiers were filmed shooting across the cemetery and even fired a grenade launcher. The Israeli military did not comment on the reason behind targeting Palestinian cemeteries and operating within the cemeteries. Meanwhile, intentional attacks on cemeteries and other places of religious significance could be considered war crimes. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor accused the Israeli regime forces of destroying dozens of graves in utter disregard for the sanctity of the dead. In addition to razing the cemetery, the rights group said the Israeli army vandalized some graves and stole dead bodies believed to belong to Palestinian activists. Israel is systematically violating the sanctity of the dead and of the cemeteries in flagrant violation of the principles of international humanitarian law and the rules of war in relation to the protection of cemeteries during armed conflicts, the group said in a statement. The razing of Palestinian cemeteries has also blocked Palestinians' access to grave sites, forcing many to bury their relatives in unusual spots across Gaza. Video footage by local media showed residents using markets, roadsides, and hospital courtyards as burial sites. Burial difficulties are particularly challenging in northern Gaza Strip due to the mounting death toll from the Israeli regime's ongoing bombing campaign. The ceaseless bombardment has killed at least 18,800 Palestinians in 70 days, most of them women and children. The Middle East Monitor has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli military forces have damaged or completely destroyed at least six cemeteries in the northern Gaza Strip during the recent ground invasion of Gaza. According to an analysis conducted by the New York Times using satellite imagery and video footage, the Israeli military demolished part of the Tunisian cemetery to establish a temporary military position in the Shujaiya neighborhood of Gaza Strip. A satellite image captured recently reveals Israeli armored vehicles and defensive structures on ground that previously housed intact graves. Despite international law considering the destruction of religious locations as possible war crimes, the Israeli military has not provided any explanation to the New York Times regarding the demolition of the cemetery or any measures taken to safeguard religious sites in the Gaza Strip.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Ladies' Favorite Program, Muslim Lady. Well, once more, I'm here as your host. I'm Asma, at your service. And today, we have Brother Mustafa with us as the guest. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Mustafa, and I'm also a student here. I am researching psychology and Islamic studies.
That's very great. Thank you for being here. So one of the features of a mother is to be patient. So there are many girls who are not having some special traits before they become mothers, before they become a wife, before they become a partner of another person in a communion, in a respectful communion that is called family. And now one of those traits is patience, which is very much important. Not many girls have that, but then as they become mother, when you see them, when you look at their life in retrospect, you see how much of change they have been through after they have become mothers. Like, you see, that girl who was so impatient and who was so reckless, now she's more logical, she's more patient. And the thing that how she has been through that much of change and how she started to gain that much of patience is very interesting.
Definitely. Of course, you know, having children or being in that role completely changes a person's life, like way of thinking and lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even the Holy Quran mentions how difficult it is for a mother to sort of, you know, raise that child, to wean them. And for that, God has given them like this sort of incredible position, you know, in the hereafter, just for, you know, bringing a child into this world.
Yeah.
So, of course, that would definitely make them patient. And I was trying to think of, you know, how I can sort of make this a more practical or maybe more interesting for listeners. You know, one idea that came to my mind is that what are some practical things that patients can help with, right? Where can patients sort of help you sort of not make mistakes? And one of the things like we learn about in psychology is that we try to use different techniques to change sort of human behavior, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole topic called like modification behavior. And let's say if you go to a psychologist and you say, hey, you know, my son or my child is having this issue, they will tell you, okay, like, why don't you apply this technique? What happens, unfortunately, when we don't know those techniques, what do we run out of, do you think? We run out of patience.
Of course.
Right? We run out of patience. When we run out of patience, what do you think happens next? If you do have a sister or a child, right, and they were to sort of misbehave, right? Let's say they come home, they're less than 7 years old, and they come home and they're misbehaving. Let's say they're picking their nose, they're swearing.
Yeah.
What do you think should be the reaction of a parent? What do you think should be done there?
I have a younger brother who once was a little child, so as for me, I'm going to tolerate for one time, twice, and three times, but then eventually I'm going to explode.
Okay, so that's exactly why we're saying patience, it comes in handy here, right? Islam, and from a psychological point of view, they would say that the initial reaction is to completely ignore that child's behavior.
Yeah.
So completely ignore what they're doing as if they have done nothing. Right? A lot of times what happens is when a child comes in doing those things, parents will start like disciplining that child,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, now I have a question.
Yeah.
Since you have children, do you think men are more patient or women?
Absolutely, men are not as patient as women. There's like no comparison.
Okay? Yeah, that's the thing. Ladies are more patient.
100%. Like women have so much more patience, especially when it comes to children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God's placed that in
exactly.
In
I just wanted to mention this. God has put this into her nature because she's going to be a mother, and a mother always tolerates everything.
In fact, I'm sure we have narrations which say something like, you know, a woman has like three times more patience than a man. You know, she has 10 times more patience than
yeah. So there are some things that are related to her nature.
Definitely.
Like being a mother, like having too much of patience, like being the supportive one.
So that nature, it comes out even more when they're in that role, right? When finally, when they're in that role of a mother, then that sort of enhances their inner sort of, it develops their patience.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. Patience is such a huge tool in just in terms of parenting that it's used in psychology as a way of like changing, you know, children's behavior. One of the things that you said, you know, you asked as a father. Now, some of the things, by the way, that we're talking about, they're not just related to women. They're related to everyone, right? They're related, even as a father, you have to do these things. It's not as if...
So, but since we're talking to Muslim ladies,
I know.
We want to honor them more and
of
more.
Of course. But I'm trying to say it's important for everyone.
Yeah.
So another thing that we talk about in psychology from this angle, you know, from being patients, is that a mother, for example, they say should be a mountain of love for their children, right? In the sense that there's these red lines at home that you should have that should never be crossed. And that's like love and respect.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah.
By the way, these are things that I didn't know. You know, these things that I'm mentioning are things that I've actually learned when I was here and studying. Mm-hmm. You might think for some people, these things might be like normal or common sense.
Yeah.
But I actually had to learn them.
So let me just test your patience and tell you that it's time for break and we have to go for a short break and then we'll be back.
Thank you.
is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So welcome back, Muslim ladies. We are talking about patience and how we develop that trait in ourselves as mothers. Considering the mothers related to the children, we would say that these children are going to be the tools that are going to teach them how to develop many good traits, one of them being patience. So it has got so much of difficulties to raise up a child, to bring up a child, to tolerate all the difficulties that might occur in the process. But then it's a way of getting more developed, of flourishing more of your human self.
Definitely. You know, the way we sort of sometimes view marriage and having children, I don't think it's always the correct view. For example, our teacher was telling us that, you know, sometimes we see marriage as just a means of like sort of as fulfilling our physical needs. I think this is the wrong sort of idea given to people about marriage, right? Similarly with children, I would say, like, the whole point of marriage and children is self-development and growth.
Exactly.
There's no, like, you cannot have self-growth anywhere else like as you can with children or as being in that role of a mother.
Yeah.
Right? You're dealing, like, you're raising another human being. Unfortunately, there's, in some Western countries, you know, you may even hear some really extreme cases where moms have killed their children.
That's unbelievable.
And it is unbelievable, but, you know, they're living really difficult lives there, right?
Yeah.
Even in our society, I would say a lot of women are living difficult lives. And unfortunately, I would say even for someone, we see that even someone who doesn't have problems, who's not working sometimes, our moms may not go to the extreme of killing their children, I would say. But due to lack of patience, they may solve the problem in the wrong way. For example, they may just give their phone to their child and say, hey, here you go. Just play video games. Right here. Just go look at YouTube videos or whatever.
Yeah.
Just go look at cartoons. That's what a lot of us do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just leaving your child to the video or, you know, the TV, it's definitely not good for them. That shows your lack of patience then.
Exactly.
And that's, unfortunately, I can tell you, it may cause even more harm to the child in the long run and to your family.
Of course, yes. And they are not going to learn about the good features of a human being, like being so protective of each other, like devoting time for each other, talking to each other, sharing some emotion with each other. If a mother does not do that to her child, then that child, where is she or he going to learn that?
Right. They're going to be learning that from, like, all the wrong places then, right? They're learning that from cartoons and they're learning that from that movies. And, you know, it's even more serious than that. I don't know how many people realize how many children today have mental illnesses, right? Children starting from the age of 7, 8, 9, like 10, like, psychologists are having parents come in with these children at that young age. Why is that happening? A lot of it has to do with, for example, just the phone and just the internet.
Yeah, and with their childhood. Because this this trick to give them the phone or anything else to make them engaged in it happens when they're so much of a child, like at the age of 7 or even before that. And right this time, right from the year 1 to year 7 of their mental development, all the basics are going to happen.
And, you know, don't think that a 7 or 8-year-old will not search for, like, the wrong things.
Yeah.
They do search for the wrong things because they've learned it from some older friend or, you know. So we're seeing that, you know, if... So a woman's patience is so important, you know, that, yes, it develops through the child. And if it's not developed in the proper way, it can cause serious harm then to the child and to the family.
So again, we come back to the point where we said before you bring up a child, you have to go through too much of knowledge and education. You have to educate yourself. And then when you become a wife, when you become in the process of becoming a mother, then you have to learn to have patience and you have to learn to devote time for this child of yours, because it is going to be a means for your development as well.
Yeah, and you know, a friend of mine used to say that having children is like is one of those things where you have children, you're given a child without a manual, right?
Yeah.
You're not given a manual, for example, although I would disagree with him in the sense that today's studies and today's, you know, for example, books related to parenting, you do have manuals available to you. And we should, I didn't do this myself, right? I wish I had, and whoever's listening, if you haven't had kids, go out there and read those books. They're really helpful. You may be making mistakes that you don't know. Go and read those psychology books. Go and like listen to those lectures. They will pay off.
Exactly. There are too much of lectures and there are too much of documentaries in that. I guess all of them could come handy and so fruitful. Yeah.
One final thing I would say related to this topic, you know, is that not all psychologists or not all therapists are in the sense good or reliable. And what I mean by that is that if you find a psychologist who only has a Western way of thinking, then they may end up like giving you the wrong advice.
Yeah.
Because they may end up giving you drugs that you don't need, right? So whoever you're seeking advice from, definitely make sure that, you know, they're following Islamic principles. They know, you know.
They respect human soul as well as their
they
just
respect
mental
the human soul.
Needs.
Because I've heard, unfortunately, I've heard horror stories where, you know, people have gone to like certain psychologists and then they've just told them to do like haram things, mm-hmm. you know, forbidden things.
Yeah.
Because that's normal in Western psychology to do those things. But exactly. For us, that's definitely not normal.
And there was another aspect to our topic that we were talking right today, which was where does woman feels like devastated and worn out not to have that much of patience is to have too much of roles to do, too much of things to do. I guess sometimes it's good to just think about what we are doing to our own selves. What are we doing? Is it really worthy to do all of these things and then forget about the most important part of my life, which is my family and my children? We should look back on that aspect as well.
And, you know, as a man, I would say that even men need to understand, like, the role of a mother or of a woman. You know, what are the needs? What should be done? Because it's not just a one-sided... It's not just like the woman has to do everything here, right?
Yeah.
It's a two-sided sort of relationship here. And both parties need to understand each other and their needs. If they don't, that's where there will be conflict. That's where there will be problems. So even as
and they
a man,
have to cooperate.
Yeah. They have to cooperate. There's so much going on here. And in that sense, then the Quran says, if you do those things, then the Quran says, then, you know, then a husband and wife become a source of peace for each other. On the other hand, the Quran says that your spouse and your child could become fitna or a trial for you, right? They're all like tests and trials for us. We succeed in them, then we'll have a good life, right?
Yeah, that's the gist, I suppose. So just try to think about what you're doing and then prioritize. I think that would make everything pretty much clear for you. So this was all. Thank you for being with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something. Something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is a famous statement to reflect upon regarding the pride of place amongst women of the Prophet's virtuous daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, as narrated by her great-great-grandson, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. Fatima was called Muhaddasa, because the angels descended from heaven and called her, as they called Mary, mother of Jesus, and said, O Fatima, Allah hath chosen you above the women of all nations.
selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Since the beginning of Israel's onslaught on Gaza, Western countries and the U.S. in particular have voiced their unequivocal support for Israel on what they call Tel Aviv's right of self-defense, while ignoring the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people. The U.S. President Joe Biden visited Israel shortly after the Israeli military started the massive war on Gaza. Biden unequivocally justified the Israeli regime's genocide in the coastal Gaza Strip, saying Washington would provide the Israeli regime with everything it needed to, quote, defend itself.
Israel has the right, and I would add a responsibility, to respond to the slaughter of their people. And we will ensure Israel has what it needs to defend itself against these terrorists. That's a guarantee.
Analysts believe when it comes to Israel, Biden echoes the policies crafted not in Washington, but in Tel Aviv.
You listen to President Biden, and it sounds like he's reading from an Israeli teleprompter. Line after line after line are lines that you hear from Netanyahu, or you hear from his ministers, or you hear from Israeli propagandists. Line after line after line in the things that the president says. from the beginning of this war until today, crafted in Tel Aviv, crafted in Jerusalem.
The U.S. president has also promised to ask Congress for an unprecedented military aid package for Israel to assist its ongoing war on Gaza.
For decades, we've ensured Israel's qualitative military edge. And later this week, I'm going to ask the United States Congress for an unprecedented support package for Israel's defense.
The Biden administration has asked for an additional $14 billion for Israel from Congress. This request is focused on providing air and missile defense support and replenishing U.S. military stockpiles given to Israel. Currently, Israel receives $3.8 billion in military aid from the U.S. annually under a memorandum signed in 2019. That accounted for about 16% of Israel's total military budget in 2022. The United States has always made it clear that nothing can stop it from supporting its staunch ally.
We will support them in any way that we can, and certainly intelligence is a part of that, and I won't get into the specifics of what that means, ISR, other types of collection. We've worked with the Israelis, over many, many years, and those sharing mechanisms are there, those channels are there to share information, and we will look to continue to do that.
The U.S. has strong historical and economic ties to Israel. The U.S., which has supported the formation of Israel since World War II, is Israel's top trading partner, with annual bilateral trade of nearly $50 billion in goods and services. As a matter of fact, experts believe the creation of Israel was the direct result of imperial powers' support, including Britain and United States policies.
Without the external support that Zionism received from the British, none of what we have seen in the past century and more would have happened as it did. British and later American and other external support were absolutely essential to the success of the Zionist project from the very beginning.
Shortly after the beginning of the Nakba, or the catastrophe, in which Zionist forces expelled hundreds of thousands of Palestinians and established Israel, the United States started transferring a huge cache of weapons to Israel. According to data recently published by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, the United States provided Israel with more than 70,000 weapons between 1950 and 2022. The weapons included aircraft, ground vehicles, missiles, and bombs, most of which were used against the defenseless people of Palestine. Israel is the largest recipient of U.S. foreign military financing, with most of that aid coming in the form of weapons grants. The U.S. has provided Israel with at least 16 types of weapons in 2023, including missiles and aircraft. It is widely believed that U.S. support has emboldened Israel in its atrocities against the Palestinian people. Just recently, even a U.S. State Department official also resigned over the transfer of arms to Israel, amid growing dissent over President Biden's unequivocal support for the regime.
I think we have to look at the situation on the ground and say, is that what is actually happening? Is Israel more secure as a result of our assistance, or has our military assistance enabled Israel to move ahead with the expansion of settlements in the West Bank, to continue the siege of Gaza, and to take steps that ultimately undermine its own security?
In fact, the U.S.-made weapons are being used extensively in the current Israeli operations in Gaza. Apart from ground-penetrating munitions, the U.S. has also given Israel several other types of bombs and artillery shells. The United States has given so-called bunker buster bombs and an array of other munitions to Israel for its war on Gaza. A Wall Street Journal report citing unnamed U.S. officials said Washington has transferred 100 BLU-109 bombs to Israel that are meant to penetrate hardened structures before exploding. The U.S. has also sent special forces to the occupied territories to assist the Israeli military, according to American officials. The commandos are in Gaza to help the Israeli military in finding captives held by Palestinian fighters. While there is overwhelming bipartisan support for Israel among the American politicians, some critics are now casting doubt on whether spending taxpayer dollars to provide such huge funds serves the interests of the American people.
Yes, there are enormous emergencies abroad,
but there are also very serious emergencies in our own country, including the crises we face in child care, in primary health care, housing, and in other needs. The American people do not want us to continue to ignore these issues. I do not believe we should be appropriating over $10 billion for the right-wing extremist Netanyahu government to continue its current military approach. What the Netanyahu government is doing is immoral. It is in violation of international law, and the United States should not be complicit in those actions.
But the question to ask is why the American officials, including Democrats and Republicans, are so committed to supporting Israel, ignoring the needs of their own people.
The simple answer is it's because they're under the thumb of the Israel lobby. Israel has penetrated our government system very effectively through the lobby. This is what you get out of the other end. As far as these people are concerned, you have there is a First Amendment and you have freedom of speech in the United States, unless you're saying something about Israel. And this is appalling. This is disgusting. But the fact is they get away with it because they have such influence, I would even go further, control over many congressmen. They are major donors to congressmen, and this has an impact. They have major influence over what appears in the media, and this has a major impact on politicians running for office.
However, it seems that the younger American generation no longer buys the propaganda spread by mainstream media, desperately trying to justify U.S. support for Israel. Surveys show a growing number of American youths has an unfavorable view of Israel over its recent genocide in Gaza.
Black intellectuals, Native American intellectuals, Hispanic intellectuals are all much more critical of Israel, especially the younger ones, than are their elders or than are Republicans as a general rule. And this is not just true of young Black students or young Latino students or young Arab or Muslim students. It's also true of many young Jewish students. You look at college campuses, and Jewish Voice for Peace is a central component of the drives for divestment of these universities' assets from companies that support the Israeli occupation, and of Palestinian rights generally. So there's a generational divide.
If once the unconditional support of the Israeli regime was something for U.S. politicians to take pride in, it seems that it's going to cost them politically in the near future, as more and more people in the United States are getting to know more about the realities of the occupied territories.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. In this episode, we're going to look at the high status of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima. Lady Fatima,
Today, Wednesday, is the 6th of Jamadil Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Now we listen to chapter Al-Kawthar from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar.
Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, Al-Kawthar.
فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ.
So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ.
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It was said that Kawthar has a vast inclusive meaning, which is goodness in abundance, and the examples are many. A large number of scholars believe that one of the most clear examples of that word is the auspicious existence of Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam, because the occasion of the revelation of this verse says that they accused the Holy Prophet of being without offspring, but the Quran says, "Surely, O Muhammad, we have given you abundance of good, Kawthar." From this meaning, we understand that this abundance of good is the very Lady Fatima of whom the descendants of the Prophet increased abundantly, and thousands of them scattered in the world, preaching his religion and preserving it.
Ya Fatima al-Zahra, Ya bint Muhammad, Ya Qurrata Ayn al-Rasul, Ya Sayyidatana. استشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفعي لنا.
About the high status of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Fatima Zahra was different from all women in her high qualities and noble characteristics that took her to the highest rank of virtue and perfection. She was an example of her father's morals and mentality. She resembled him in her deep faith in Allah the Almighty, asceticism, and refraining from pleasure of this life. Fatima was infallible, and this is an indisputable fact. Allah has purified her from every sin and every defect, and endowed her with all virtues to make her an example for all the women of the world. She was an ideal example in faith, worship, chastity, purity, charity, and kindness to the poor and the deprived.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. In this first session, we shall be talking about the importance of Fatimiyya and the effect of the whole existence of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha in the world of Shi'ism and the importance of the mourning and azadari and Lady Fatima salam Allah alayha. خصبي إن الهداية الكبرى and بحراني إن العوالم as well as many other writers and authors have mentioned with references that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam wept so much during the mourning of his mother Fatima al-Zahra salam Allah alayha and mentioned the calamity and that his beards were full of tears and it was getting wet. According to historical evidences, the commemoration of the Fatimiyya or the Fatimiyya mournings and its official aspect were during the Qajar era, especially during the reign of Nasr al-Din Shah. As Sheikh Ibrahim Zanjani's report in his memoirs about Fatimiyya becoming a tradition in this period and as one of these evidences from his narration, it appears that the honoring of Fatimiyya and the Fatimiyya days became a custom in Zanjan since the time of Nasri era. However, during the era of Nasr al-Din Shah and Muzaffar al-Din Shah, the Najaf Samiri was interested in the establishment of Fatimi Shrine. The late Ahmed Khorasani played a prominent role in this regard, and the mourning of Fatimiyya in his house was met with great success.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
One of the beautiful lessons from the epic life of Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, is the value of motherhood. They are Fatima and her father and her husband and her children. Fatima Zahra is the mother of the 11th infallible Imams. Without Fatima's role as a mother, there is no connection between prophethood and imamate. As a mother, Fatima's influence was no limited to her own doings, but also the acts of the pure infallibles from her lineage. Sometimes we forget to value the mothers in our lives and, on a wider scale, the community. Especially in recent times, it has been found that often women who are stay-at-home mothers are looked down upon, while in fact they are doing one of the greatest services for society.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Allah.
From the speech of Ayatollah Khamenei, look at the glory of Fatima Zahra. That is incomprehensible. The leader said, "No word can describe Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. We can never speak enough about her virtues. Words cannot express how truly feel about her. The dimensions of such a noble woman's existence, this elevated soul, this gist of prophethood and wilaya is so vast, infinite, and incomprehensible, it truly leaves us amazed. If you read the literature about Fatima Zahra written by Sunni narrators, you can find many sayings narrated from the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny in praise of Fatima Zahra, or how Prophet Muhammad treated her. There is a famous narration from Aisha where she is narrated to have said, I have seen no one who resembles the Prophet in glory, visage, look, brilliance, manners and behaviors as much as Fatima.
Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, she was born into the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and she became his supporter. Rasulullah used to come home many nights, many days. Rasulullah would come home bleeding from head to toe. And it was his daughter Fatima that would take care of her father. She would be the one who would heal the wounds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They mentioned that in Badr and in Uhud, either one of them, Fatima al-Zahra was there healing the wound of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In Uhud perhaps. And Fatima al-Zahra played an active role in building the religion of Islam and carrying on the message of her father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Then she moved on to become a wife. And what a wife did she become. She married Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first of the Muslims, the first of the supporters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And Rasulullah, he says, if it was not for Ali, then Fatima would not have an equal counterpart, someone who is similar to her. Yes, they started that household, and a house of charity, a house of giving, and a house of sacrifice. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We give you for the sake of Allah. We don't want anything in return. These are the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam. That house of giving, this is why that house was a house that brought joy to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. That was the house that Rasulullah used to visit. Every day, anytime he travels, the last person he says goodbye to was Fatima. And whenever he comes back from his trip, the first house he would go to was Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. There's no doubt about this. Yes, today, some they come and they try to elevate the ranks of others to say that these people were closer. But no, it was Fatima who was the closest of ladies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, who was the closest of the men. These are not our words. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, she was asked, who was the closest to Rasulullah? She said, from the women it was Fatima, and from the men it was Ali ibn Abi Talib. They were the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And then Fatima al-Zahra, she became a wife, and then she became a mother. And what a mother did she become? A mother that raised Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, Zainab, and Kulthum. And each one of them had a huge impact in delivering and continuing the legacy of Islam and the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for choosing this episode of today's special for listening. And till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.